Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to High Point. Very excited to be here. This is one of my favorite, it has become one of my favorite places to come for lunch. The barbecue is amazing. And yes, that's a good. Also, the people who are hosting this, just great respect for Dr. Self and for Diane and everybody that's been here for a while. How long has High Point been here? Anybody knows? How long has High Point been here?
Forever.
Forever. And ever since the first century. It's apostolic, really. You are welcome to come with food. It's not going to bother me. I usually do not eat before I preach because I just feel a little better. But this time I already ate. So if you bring food here, it's fine. Welcome, everybody. I hope that this is going to be a relaxed afternoon as we're looking and gleaning into God's Word. I usually have a PowerPoint presentation. I like to throw in some handouts. But the subject at hand, it's so powerful. I don't want you to even look down because I just want you to relax. And I want you to not worry about taking notes today. I just want you to enjoy. And let's just have a great afternoon, okay? Lunch is good. In Romania, usually we take a nap. I don't know if you guys can do that. If you can do that, okay. So I'm... Not during my talk. Please do not. If I see you falling asleep, I would presume you're actually praying for me. So whatever you need to do, you are welcome here, and I'm very excited. For some of you that, how many of you have been here when I preached before? How many of you? Man, I got a groupies, man. I love it. You guys were here. You saw my name on the paper. You see I'm coming, and you just show up for me. I feel so grateful, and so thank you so much for coming. I'm kind of buying time for the people who are still eating and making their ways here. So I keep talking and talking and keep entertaining you here. But why don't we do this before we really mess it up? Let's just pray and ask the Lord to come this afternoon, to really speak to us. I don't want to lecture you today. I don't want to, I don't want to impress you with anything. I didn't come here to, I don't even care if you like me or not. I really want you to press on and to have this moment. If we can close your eyes right now, just let the Holy Spirit prepare your heart, prepare my heart to receive God's Word. It's really about Him. Lord, we thank You for this afternoon. Thank You for this time. What would we do without You, Lord? How would we walk if we wouldn't be sustained by Your grace, by Your mercy? Lord, we need You more than any time, more than anything. We need You, Lord, today. We need You now. I just pray, Lord, that as we spend this time together, can we just put on pause whatever's going on to hear You? Could You speak to us this afternoon through Your Spirit, through Your Word? Would You come and speak to all of us? Would You speak to our hearts? Would You challenge our thinking? May we glean on Your presence and just be saturated with who You are. May we get lost in Your goodness, in Your grace. And as we fall in love with You, sin falling off of us, Lord, may we press on. I pray, Lord, that You give us wisdom as we try to read this afternoon. And once we're out of here, Lord, may we wear with us whatever we're learning in here. Not condemning people, not shaming them, but loving them well, as you have asked in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, I can just stop and we can, it's amazing. Really enjoy time in prayer this afternoon. Well, my name is Gabriel. For some of you, I should have asked, how many of you do not know me? How many of you have seen me for the first time? Okay, man, pressure on. I better, yes. My name is Gabriel. I come from Romania. I came here in 1996. I didn't speak any English when I came here. I knew God bless you, have a nice day, and give me a break. That's all I knew. Never learned English, never thought I would need it. In school, they asked me if I want to take. I said, no, I'll probably take Russian or French, but English, I'll never need it. I'll never use it. But the Lord brought me here in 1996, and I became a minister in 1996. I worked in a deaf church. Sign language was primarily the way I would communicate with the people in my church. As I moved on in my schooling, graduated from Southwestern Seminary, and did biblical languages, fall in love with God's Word, and I am so fascinated with God's Word. And it's not just for the mind, but especially for the heart, especially right living with God. Now, I know that we have gone through Galatians, and the portion that was assigned to me, and I'm not saying this, I'm saying this with great joy. It couldn't have happened any better. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Galatians 5, 13. Don't worry about your phone. Don't worry about the Bible. I'm going to read it for you, and we're going to talk about it. Galatians 5, starting with 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I want you to know that as I came into the United States in 1996, it was the first time I've ever traveled on an airplane. I hopped in an airplane. I was coming to United States. I only had a bag. I had a toilet paper, some socks, some undies, and $50 in my pocket coming to United States. It will change my life. They kept wanting to feed me at that time, no longer. But they kept wanting to feed me in the plane. I keep refusing. I couldn't speak English, and I didn't want to spend my $50 on this ride to United States. I came to the United States, I was hungry, I was tired, and I asked my sponsor, what am I to do? I need to eat something. And he asked me, did you not eat in the plane? I said, no. I said, well, why not? Because I didn't want to pay for it. It was free, Gabriel, it was free. Now I work in the missions office, and I travel quite often. I just came from New York last week. We went on a mission trip. And we have a lot of mission trips that are going on in our church. So I am much more familiar with traveling. As a matter of fact, I got so good at it. Now I have a miles account for the airfare of my preference. Well, let me tell you about this airline. I'm not going to name any names. I do not work for these airlines. I'm not trying to raise their awareness. It's kind of, their motto is unity, okay? And so that's what they stand for. And so I've been traveling, and the more I travel with this particular airline, I want you to know that something happened over time with this airline where they're changing their rules. It used to be you can bring as many bags as you want to. They have to wait a certain way. You just drop them off. You get on the plane. No longer. What you got to do now is if you have a bag that you want to take with you, now you have to pay for it. Well, not only that, but if you want to have preferential seating in the plane, now they've changed the rules where you have to pay for your seat. I remember when I would go online and select My seats, they were for free, and you just pick whatever, except those white ones. You couldn't pick those, but you can pick specific seats, and you can get, and there will be no issue whatsoever. That went away. Well, not too long ago, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, I purchased another ticket. I went online. I couldn't select the tickets. I couldn't select the seats. Fine by me. I don't care. Just give me the cheapest. Then, you know, just give me a seat on that plane. If I want to put my bags, I would have to pay some bags fee. I said, I don't want any bags. And I purchased the ticket. And now, a day before, I'm ready to check in online. As I check in online, and as I always do, I just put my boarding pass, and I'm ready to just a boarding pass number, and I'm ready to get in for me to actually get the boarding pass. And they're telling me, so sorry, but we cannot check you online at this time. I'm checking more, and I'm kind of panicking. I have a global entry now, so I just go to the TSA pre. You know, I don't have to wait in line, and I just make my way. They just put me in through the lines, and I just go. And I'm like, I don't like that. I don't want to stop again at the airline kiosk. I want to check in. They will not let me. I play around a little bit. I said, well, let me see if I can add a bag. If I can just put a plus one to the bag. Sure enough, the moment I put plus one, it lets me go on, but they want me to pay for it. This is not working for me. I really need to check in. I figure out really quickly that there's no way. If I'm going to get on this flight with the amount of money that I have spent on this ticket, I will have to go to the kiosk. Sure enough, my wife and I were traveling on the same flight. So I was telling her, I said, honey, I don't know what this is. This is new to me. This is very interesting. Now even they don't allow you to have a carry-on, just a personal item with you. And I have a feeling that we're going to show up at the kiosk. They're going to take a good look at us to see if we have any. And sure enough, I only go for 2 days. They're going to search us, and then they're going to let us. Sure enough, we get in front of. We get to the line, and I have my backpack with me. You know, it is a little bit chubby, but sure enough, I think it was going to make it. And there were two ladies next to the kiosk, and there were three or four ladies behind kind of where the baggage areas. And as I go in, I said, okay, I'm here to get the ticket. They press all these buttons. They come. They try to overwrite, and it doesn't go through. She said, well, can I see your personal item? I sure pulled my backpack, and the first thing that she sees me, when she sees me with the backpack, nope, that's a carry-on, $25. And I go, oh, no. I don't mind paying $25, but look, I went to the trouble trying to check in, and I'm trying to get these. And she says, nope, you got to take the bag and put them to the ringer, basically. So I take the bag, I try to put it, I'm putting it to see if it fits in the little cubby, and I'm actually pushing now. I'm all mad. My wife is just so embarrassed at me. Just pay the $25. I'm like, no, I'm just pushing it. I'm shoving it through, and I'm just like sweating, and I kept thinking, I hope nobody takes a picture of me. I'm a pastor at Houston's First, and I'm just mad and enraged. I couldn't do it last night. I can't do it now. Now you're looking. This is just... just makes me so mad. I'm pushing it, and I'm getting almost the whole bag, and the lady says, nope, this line, it needs to go below this line. So I get on top, I push it more, and I get the darn bag beyond, just below the bag, below the line. I'm looking in my horror. I'm looking around. My wife is just like, oh, my gosh, this is not happening. I look at the three ladies behind the counter, and they all go, and the two ladies by the kiosk, and they look at each other. They're trying to get an approval, and they said, okay, that's fine. And I move on, and I take the bag, and I go to my gate. I sure get there, and there's a lady just sitting on the chair, and she says, you're not going to believe this. They made me pay $25 for my, and I'm going, nope, I'm not having this conversation. I'm moving on. Now, why have I told you this long, long, lengthy story? is because I think that this passage is so appropriate to describe the freedom that we have in Christ to be free from all these rules and regulation and the things that are going on that we sign up for. I'm not trying to badmouth this airline, but I'm just trying to use an example. I used another airline that, hey, the bags go for free. Yeah, you stay in line, but there'll be no issues. There's no rules. You just go stay in your line. Then when the time comes, you get on the plane, you're good to go. But our life sometimes is getting so complicated that we pursue ourselves to create a membership with an entity or with someone, rather it's a church, and we start these crazy rules that no longer, they just don't make sense. And so now we go in this pathway of addiction in our minds because we're committed to our addictive behavior for whatever this might be. If it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's pornography, if it's addiction to food, if it's addiction to religiosity, we just sign up and we feel that we're so constrained and we're so tied up, we're so tethered to these commitments that we make, to these airlines of our lives, that we no longer seek the freedom that is in Christ for us to be free from any of this. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to badmouth. This is not about the airline. It's about my experience that sometimes even in church, we create these crazy rules that makes no sense to us. And now we become legalists. And instead of us following Christ and instead of our hearts being so committed to Jesus, now we have to commit ourselves to this ritualistic, crazy stuff. And we're trying to take our sin and we're trying to cram it in such a way that it goes below the line. When Christ has set us free. And Paul is having exactly the same difficulties with these Galatians. That they have taken these rules of circumcision to the nth degree, to the point that they felt that they would be the ones who are so godly because they are following these rules. Now, rules are not the problems. Because truly, the best rule that Paul is giving us is to love one another. Why can't we have a rule amongst ourselves to be so in love with God that we love one another? That we care for one another so much that when people look from the outside in, they say, this is crazy how they love one another. You know, we used to be in Romania when I grew up. In communism, that once we picked up on the fact that someone is a true believer and we would see one another, people would already recognize us. He said, those are those believers who give their money to one another, who give their clothes to one another, who they would take a risk to love someone in need who has nothing and they would give everything because that's who they are. But in reality, we have made ourselves these rules and these expectations about how we need to follow God by following these things. And in so doing, we've become addicted. We've become addicted to sin. Addicted to the things that you weren't even able to speak out loud, you were so ashamed of. We've created this model of replacing Jesus, who's giving it all for us, for the sake of this religiosity that is not working. You know, I want you to know that if there is a sin that binds you, that holds you down, and it's because you're not understanding this freedom in Christ. The freedom that Christ has given us through Him being on the cross and being crucified for us, it extends to a life that doesn't depend on these lesser desires. but is fully engaged and fully in love with God, with the Creator, Him giving His only Son for you. You know, the reason why we have a lot of legalists, it's not because they understand the concepts of freedom, because they're bound to their rules. And Paul so eloquently says in 13, for you were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. It's almost like he's saying to you, your whole being should be in the freedom. You should stand for this kind of freedom. Now, I know in America, freedom is a big deal. And I know that sometimes, and I'm in America since 2016, I became a U.S. citizen April 12. I will never forget when I came before the judge and I sworn in and I allegiance to the United States. And I ended the first thing that people told me when I got out of that courthouse, they said to me, he says, you know, the freedoms that are here in the United States, and I appreciate that. America is a free country. You can do just about anything. If you want to start a business, you know, God is giving the opportunities that people in other countries do not have. But I don't know that Paul is talking about that kind of freedom. It's not just the freedom to be able to think and to utilize your gifts in the way that you can utilize them, but it's freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage of the world. And God is calling us to be free. You know, I just want you to know, I took my wife and I remember several years ago, we took a K-Love cruise. And it was sponsored by this radio station that is K-Love. And they had different sessions on it. And I remember when I just went in there, and one of the talks was about pornography. And the speaker began to talk with these men. There were probably 200 men in the room, and he began to speak, and I could tell that the more he was talking, just the whole room was quieter and quieter, and you can sense this heaviness of many of the men who were bound by this plague, this thing that is pornography. And I remember how in my heart, you know, the first thing that was going on was like, why are so many people, they're bound in this sin? What's going on? But then the Holy Spirit just touched my heart and said, Gabriel, these are people who are bound in chains. They are not yet free. We need to love them. Do you know what young people are telling us? You know, when pornography in the past, when you and I grew up, was the magazine on a shelf, or, you know, a VHS, and I'm not saying from experience, but on a tape or whatever. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. Now kids get online and do this. And you know what kids say that are addicted to pornography? They're saying, you know, we are not only that we're ashamed, but we have no place to go. Because when we come to church, you know, the churches doesn't receive, they don't have for us any tools to help us. And so now, not only that we're in bondage, but we're also in shame, when the church should be the place of freedom. What freedom from addiction, what freedom from the desire of the world, what freedom from sin would be exalted. And you and I are called to be those kind of Christians that celebrate this kind of freedom. If I can look at the church in America, and if we would use the freedom, you know, the power of freedom, the same way we're so patriotic about our freedoms in the United States, and look at your freedom in Christ, and you telling people, you don't have to be bound by this, there's a better way, I'm going to walk with you, you can confess, I will forgive you, God will forgive you, let's walk together out of this into the freedom. And we elevate this concept of freedom to the point that we think that we're free to do everything when Christ is saying you are free to do everything for loving one another, for loving God, for preserving your heart from sin. Because just because you can do everything, it also means that you can also sin everything when Christ is calling us to be free from sin. To be free to love God, to love people, to not be in bondage. Are you hearing me this afternoon? I kept telling the story of my uncle. I think I might have said this here, and I don't mind repeating. My uncle lived in Romania, and Uncle Dimitri, if you're hearing me online, I know these things go online. I just want you to know I love you, but I have to share this. My Uncle Dimitri was a pastor in Romania, and he loved the Lord. He went to seminary, and he was expelled from seminary because he was so radical for Jesus. They put him in prison, and when he got out of prison, they put him under house arrest. He would be so known for his passion for Christ, his freedom in a communist country, that they would bring at night Bibles in a little bag, and they would just throw them through the window, and he would take the Bibles, he would count them up, and he would put them in a bag, and he would put them on his shoulder, and he would walk out of his house while the guards were sleeping as they were assigned to his house, and he was taking the bags, and now he would go to different various towns and various churches that were underground to deliver these Bibles for Bible-believing Christians who do not have access to the Word of God the way you do. And I remember him telling me the story that one night as he was carrying his Bibles with him, he was on his way to this particular town, and all of a sudden he sees this lights that appears in the night, and the more he looks at those lights, the closer the lights get to him to recognize there was a car, and in the car there were two officers getting out of the car, interrogating Dimitri, asking him, "What are you doing here? You're supposed to be at home. Where are your guards?" And Dimitri said, "I'm so sorry. I just couldn't sleep. Something in my heart. And I'm trying to deliver this bag to some of my brother and sisters, believers in this particular town." And they said, "Really? What do you have there?" And Dimitri, looking in their eyes, says, "Sir, all I have is here is bread. That's all I have. It's bread." They looked at him and it says, "You do not lie, so we're going to believe you. But next time, if we're going to see you, we're going to take you to the post and you're going to spend another 5 years in prison." Dimitri says, "No problem. Sorry to bother you." And in his mind, he was glorifying God because the bread he had in his bag was the bread of life. They were getting back in the car and now they were on their way back, whatever they needed to go. And the joy and the passion and the freedom that was in Dimitri's heart, a freedom beyond his political, beyond his country's ability, a freedom in Christ to be without fear, just fully on engaged with Jesus, looked in the eyes of those policemen and said, "May I ask, where are you going?" And they looked back at Dimitri and says, "Well, the town that you're going is not it, just one town after this." And Dimitri looked in their eyes and said to them, "Well, would you not give me a ride?" So with the Bibles, he got in the back seat of these policemen, never knowing that he would be dropped off at an undisclosed underground Bible-believing church with his oppressors. What kind of freedom is that? Although oppressed, God providing ability for him to exalt Jesus. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end up here. The communists were so tired of him that they took him out and gave him a passport, said, "You need to leave." He ended up being sent to the United States, and he struggled for many years with alcohol. His family did not want to have anything to do with him, and now he was bound to the bottle. And Uncle Dimitri, if you ever hear this, I just want you to know how much I love you. And there's freedom in Christ from anything. From anything that you wrestle with. Whatever's going on, I just pray in Jesus' name that you are free. Because how much more powerful it is for us, the Bible-believing people, to walk around free. It's not just having a sign that says freedom. Can your life be the very sign reflecting Jesus' glory into the world, shining gloriously? Not shaming people, but rather loving them, forgiving them. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. How much more we would gain if we would be those freedom believers who would take the word of God, not in the courts, not necessarily in the schools, but by loving one another, by loving the poor. Now, I'm not saying it's anything wrong. I know in America we're passionate about our freedoms. But how much more freedom do we have that we never use? And God is calling us to be free from sin, free from the bondage that is so put on us. The Bible says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, and I'm going to end with this. But we rejoice in our sufferings because we know we would never count suffering. I'm putting that aside to say we would never count suffering to be something joyful. Yet Paul is instructing and loving us to say suffering would produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of God's love poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. Let me ask you this afternoon at this very uncomfortable luncheon. What is it that you need to be free from? What does God want to use your life? Because the enemy is a liar. He's reminding you every single day that you're a slave, and now he has put you in this prison, and God is here through his word to tell you, you are free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free. Lord, I pray that the next moment that's going to happen here, Lord, is even more powerful than what just happened through the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray as we, brothers and sisters, believers, are in community, Lord, that you would free us. You would free us from anything that entangles us, that puts us to shame. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room that struggle with alcohol, with any kind of addiction, Lord, with pornography, Lord, with addiction to any kind of addiction, Lord, to any kind of rebellion against, Lord, I pray, God, that they would hear me loud and clear, that they are forgiven, and that by the power of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus who went on the cross to die for each and every one of us, Lord. You have given us this freedom to walk out of it. And I pray, Lord, that as we believe, as we pray, as we understand, Lord, that something will happen inside. That your Holy Spirit, much more powerful than any words anyone can say, Lord, would deliver people this afternoon from whatever circumstances they go. It could be freedom from fear, family members who are manipulating us, all kind of relationships, Lord, that needs to be gone. I pray, Lord, that right now, God, at the hearing of my voice, God, that you would free people in this place. As we believe that you will, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to do something unusual. I always do this when I come here, and I'm not about to change this. We're going to have a moment of prayer. Now, if you need to go back to your work, I understand. I'm not saying that you got issues and you don't want to deal with them, okay? So I'm not going to put that on you. But I have two brothers here with me, Skyler, and I have Brady there in the back. I'm going to ask them to join me. And as you leave, if there's something burdensome in your heart, we want to pray over you. We don't want to just talk. The Bible says that this is not a matter of talking, but is a power. The power that is in Christ is to deliver us from our sins. And if there's something heavy in your heart or about yourself or somebody else, we would love to pray with you. So why don't we do this? We're going to dismiss you. And if you want to stay with us for prayer, we are here for you. God bless you and thank you for coming this afternoon.